You all have your outline? You all have it? You can show it to me? Yeah, you all got it? Okay, good. Now, there was an extra sheet. Did you all get one of these? If you did not get an extra sheet, raise your hand, and we have some brothers. They will come around and give you an extra sheet. Because tonight, we are not starting the outlines per se. We're having a kind of an introduction meeting, a short meeting. Won't be too long. I have one or two. I actually have mainly just one point to cover. And then Brother Emmanuel will cover another point. And these things that we want to cover tonight, the verses are on this sheet. And then after we fellowship with you our burden tonight, these sheets are for you to go back. You can spend some time before you go to bed, read a few of them. In the morning for your morning revival time, you can use some of them if you like. So this is kind of a little extra page in addition to the outline. But it is in the burden of this conference. So we do want to, this is not just a warm-up meeting, actually. This is the introduction to these outlines in this conference. So first of all, I think it's good to read the title of the conference slowly and carefully, paying attention to the phrases, to the grammar, so that you can grasp what is involved in these outlines here. It's quite an amazing thing. Let us read the titles together. Living a Life for the Fulfillment of God's Eternal Purpose by Enjoying Christ as Everything for a New Sisters. Amen. Brothers, living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival. Do we have any English majors here? Any English majors? Oh, we have a few. Oh, good. Do you all, you know, when I was in high school and college, we used to diagram sentences. Do you still do that? No more. That's passé, is it? Oh, I see. Okay. That's no good anymore, huh? Huh? It's not allowed anymore. Wow. Is it a crime or what? Anyway, you know, it was helpful to me when I was young to diagram the sentence so that you know what is the subject, what are the objects, what's the point, you know, how do you do that, right? What do you think is the main subject of this sentence? What is the main subject? Here you've got a banner, right? Living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival. What's the point? What's the subject? Living a life. This is the main thing. Living a life. For God to fulfill His purpose, He needs some people who are living a certain kind of life. That's the point. He needs you to live a certain kind of life. And we'll get into that more throughout the weekend. It's a marvelous kind of life. But it has to do with your living it, which is related to your habits, related to your schedule, related to how you are living your daily life. It's very, it's inclusive. It's your living. It's your human life. And the way you live your human life can be for a certain thing. Here it's for what? In this title, our living is for what? For what? Yeah, right. Someone said for God's eternal purpose. Actually, here, Brother Ed wrote this title, right? For fulfilling God's eternal purpose. There's a bit of a difference, right? We're living a life for God's purpose, but not just for God's purpose. We want to live a life to fulfill. What is that? That implies that the Lord wants to end. He wants to fulfill His purpose. Not just to have His purpose, and we all understand it, and we're trying to live according to it, but we want to live a life that actually, what? Brings Him back. Brings in the next age. It fulfills it. God has a purpose. And we want to live a life that fulfills that. And then, of course, how do we do that? It's by something, right? It's by enjoying Christ as everything And there's a lot in that phrase, by enjoying Christ as everything. And we'll get into it. We've got lots of delicious, marvelous points in this outline. And some marvelous verses about enjoying Christ as everything. And that is, we are living a life by enjoying Christ as everything. Which means you need some practices, you need some habits, you need some way to enjoy Christ as everything. Now, how many of you in this room enjoy Christ? Say amen. Okay, how many of you enjoy Him as everything? Hard for us to say aloud, amen. Right, Brother Bill? But we want to enjoy Him as everything. And it's possible to enjoy Him as everything. And we need to enjoy Him as everything. But that's going to take some practice. That's going to take changing some of my habits. And you know, I may take some help from you, brothers, to help me enjoy the Lord. Right? When we're together, Frank can help me enjoy the Lord. I can help him enjoy the Lord. Anyway, we want to enjoy the Lord as everything for something, which is the new revival. Now, I don't think there are any words in this sentence that you've never seen before. Right? We've seen all these words. We may not have put them together in this order. And some of us have heard this kind of a thing before, and that's part of my burden tonight. I'm concerned. Some of us in this room have heard some of these things before, and it's very easy. Or there's a danger, let me put it this way, there's a danger of us saying, oh, yeah, living according to God's word, I've heard that, God's term of purpose, yeah, I know that. If that's our attitude, listen, we won't receive much this weekend. We won't. My burden is these two words, write them down. Be prepared. Be prepared. Do you know what that is? That is the Boy Scout motto. Be prepared. I don't know if they still have the Boy Scouts. Did that get outlawed with no more diagramming sentences? Maybe. Anyway, right? Be prepared. So, I was with the college students this week. I was in Rutgers on Tuesday. I asked them this question. I was with the New York young people on Wednesday. I asked them this question. How many of you are going to this conference? Everybody in this room, of course, raises their hand because you're here. Okay? Now, my question is this. What have you done to prepare yourself for this conference? What have you done? Now, I'm not asking you all to stand up one by one and answer me that question. I just want you to think about it. Brother Dennis, what do you mean, what would I do to prepare? I got my clothes together, I got in the van, and I came here. Right? No. What did you do to prepare yourself? For you to hear this kind of a word, for you to get into these points, these outlines, for you to get into living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival, for you to grasp this, for you to see something, you need to be prepared. What have you done? How many in this room are college students? Not serving much college. Okay. You all know that if you're going to a lecture on chapter 4 of this physics book or whatever, this bio class, you all know that if you're going to this lecture and it's going to be on chapter 4, how much more will you get if you read chapter 4 before you get there? A lot more, right? And if you study it, you'll get even more. So that when the lecture comes, nothing is really that new, but he's putting it together for you or she's putting it together for you. And they're, you know, and then your note-taking becomes so much clearer. And you put down you write down what you know is important. Why? Because you were prepared. And I'm concerned. We come to meeting after meeting. We come to training after training, conference after conference. Are we prepared? I'm concerned that we may not be that prepared. This is my burden tonight. Be prepared. Be prepared. Now, I'm going to outline just two areas, and then we're going to get into some specifics. You know, actually, we need to be prepared for every church meeting, for every conference meeting, for the trainings, for every time we go, we should be prepared. If you go to the Lord's table and you're not prepared, be careful, because in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 it says, if you don't confess, right, if there's some problem there, and you take that bread and cup, and you're not prepared, something can happen to you. Some have gotten ill, right? You have to be prepared. You need to be prepared. So, there's two areas. One is we need to be prepared in our daily living. That's related to a living, right? It's a general preparation. We need to be prepared when we come by having a good morning revival, by enjoying the Lord, eating the Word, touching the Word, and then throughout our day, take care of our conscience, right? Follow the anointing. You need just a preparation daily. Then there may be some need for some specific preparation. If we're going to prepare for the prophesying meeting and we're covering Isaiah or we're covering another portion of the Word, we maybe need some specific preparation. But my point is that we should be prepared. We should be prepared. Now, if you have your Bible, open to Matthew 5:3. This is the first thing. For us to be prepared, we need to be, in Matthew 5:3, poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. If you have that verse, open to Matthew 5:3. Let's read it together. Matthew 5:3. Ready? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. We need to be poor in spirit. This is related to my first point, that is, if you think you've heard these things before and you come with this attitude, oh, I've heard this, I've been there, done that, that is not poor in spirit. You're filled. You think you have it. So you can't receive anything. You need to empty yourself out and say, Lord, even though I've heard these words, maybe you've heard about God's purpose. Actually, if you haven't heard about God's purpose, it's a little easier sometimes. It's very fresh to you. But it should be fresh to every one of us. How can it be fresh? You may have heard it many times. It's fresh if you're poor in spirit. The rich he sent away empty, right? But he has filled the hungry with good things. If we are poor in spirit, that we're open to the Lord, then He can fill us. And then what we hear, what we see in the Word, we get into these verses, we touch these points, it becomes very fresh to us because we're emptied out. Okay, the second thing is Matthew 5:8. 5:8. You have that? Let's read it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So secondly, we need to be pure in heart. This is related to what we came for. Why are we here? If our heart is divided, if we're here for many things, then we won't gain what the Lord has for us. We need to be here to gain the Lord. We're here for God's purpose. We're here for Christ, right? So we need to be centered on Him and focused on Him and no other motive. We're just here for the Lord. So we don't want to distract anybody from that. Neither do we want to be distracted from that. We want to be those who are pure in heart. Pure in heart. And then the last thing, which is the major one that we want to cover in this section, is in your sheet here, 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 1:19. It's on your sheet if you have it. Let's read that. Holding faith and a good conscience, concerning which some, thrusting these away, have become shipwrecked regarding the faith. So the third point is holding a good conscience. Having a good conscience. I think many of us are familiar with this point, and that is that we have a mingled spirit, right? God is dwelling in our spirit, and He's joined to us one spirit. And our spirit has these functions. And the one we want to talk about tonight is our conscience. We also have the function of intuition and fellowship. But conscience is very, very important because of the verses that we have here. You see, conscience is related to faith and it's related to love. For us to live a life which is for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose is in faith. So for us to live a life for the fulfillment of God's purpose, we must be full of faith. We must be people of faith. We must lay hold of faith. And here the verse says, holding faith. And what? A good conscience. Which some, thrusting these away, have become shipwrecked regarding the faith. That means that if I don't hold a good conscience, If I don't take care of my conscience, even I may gain a lot in this meeting or in this weekend. I may gain a lot of the Lord. I may gain a lot of faith, but I'm not able to hold it because my conscience is not good. So there's a leaking. It says, become shipwrecked. It's as if our vessel is like the ship. Actually, we call ships vessels, right? Like our vessel is like the ship. And we're gaining the Lord. We're gaining more of faith. But if we don't take care of our conscience, it leaks. And we become shipwrecked. It's as if we hit a rock and the hole gets in there. So we have to take care of our conscience. Holding faith and a good conscience. So one way to be prepared, and this is my burden tonight, a very crucial way to be prepared is that we would spend some time with the Lord, some personal time with the Lord. And we're going to give you some time tonight, the last few minutes of this session. And you should also, we hope you'll take some time before you go to bed tonight to spend some time with the Lord. And in the morning, just to open up to the Lord. And if there's anything there that is in the way, it's frustrating you from contacting Him, from enjoying Him, from being filled with Him, then what? We just need to confess it. We need to take care of it and hold a good conscience, even throughout the entire weekend. There's 1 Timothy 1:5 is a good verse. Let's look at that verse. But the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and out of unfeigned faith. So here you have love, a pure heart, and faith again, and a good conscience. So you, not only faith here, but love. We all want love, right? And we need love. And we want more faith. We need faith. But sometimes we're not willing to take care of our conscience. Some of you who are in the summer school with us, we touched this point in the summer school because we're on the two spirits, right? And related to the exercise of our spirit, our conscience is the main function that we have to take care of. So we use this kind of example. How about you three brothers come up here? This was very helpful. Brother Ricky shared this. Okay. So Albert here is a good conscience. Oh, he's my good conscience. Okay. Praise the Lord. And Peter is love. Doesn't he look like love? He's love. We need love. We want love, right? Right? Okay. And Benjamin. Benjamin is faith. He's faith. I need faith, you know. So, and these three are very much connected because you see in these verses, the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience is related to a good conscience. So they're very much connected. Very much connected. And then what? And out of unfeigned faith.
Amen.
Very much connected. You can't have love and faith without a good conscience, according to this verse. You have to hold faith and a good conscience. And the goal is love out of a good conscience and unfeigned faith. You can't hold it. I mean, you have to have them together, right? But our problem sometimes is this. Oh, I really want love. No, this is faith, right? I really want faith. Oh, faith and love. I've got to have faith and love. Good conscience. I'm not interested. Wait a minute. No, Albert, I don't want you. No. I'm thrusting him away. I want faith and love. But you can't do that. You can't do that. The only way is to hold a good conscience. Then you have faith and love. These things cannot be separated. If we don't have a good conscience, we may want to know how to live a life. We may have a desire. I need a life that is for the fulfillment of God's purpose. I need to enjoy Christ as my everything. But without a good conscience, it will leak away. And we're not, actually, even we're not even prepared to receive what the Lord has for us. So we really feel like we need to take care of this. Some of the last two outlines in this conference are from the book of Isaiah. And the reason I had this burden was from these verses in Isaiah 6. You know, in Isaiah 6, it was the year King Uzziah died. Maybe we can read these verses, 6, 1 through 7, quickly. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim hovered over him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to the other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Jehovah of hosts, the whole earth is filled with his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am finished, for I am a man of unclean lips, and in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with an ember in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs, and he touched my mouth. "Now it's touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." And we didn't put verse 8 here, but verse 8 is also very good, because then the Lord said, "Who will go for us?" He has some burden, right? And Isaiah, after this experience, said, "Here I am, send me." So he was able to be useful to the Lord. Why? Because he had a good conscience. And the key here is, number one, you have to spend the time with the Lord. He saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord sitting on the high and lofty throne, then, of course, we know this, right? God is light. And the light shined, and he realized he was a man of unclean lips. And he dwelled among a people of unclean lips. And he repented. And then you have the angel coming with the ember and cleansing him and purging him so that he could be available to the Lord and useful to the Lord. And you know, if you read the life study, Brother Lee mentions here, King Uzziah was a very good king. And Isaiah was happy to be serving there. But once he died, Isaiah went into somewhat of a depression. That was the year he died. And he was somewhat depressed. And whenever, and sometimes we get in this kind of a state. We may not be that happy, maybe a little low. But the key is to see the Lord. Go and spend the time with the Lord. And if there's anything, he will shine. And then we repent. And then, I believe, Isaiah wasn't depressed when he said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." You know, sometimes when we're low and we think we're no good for nothing, you know, we just, if the Lord would say, whom can I send? We'd go, don't look at me. I'm out of it. But if we have a good conscience, we will never have that response. With a good conscience. None of us is without sin. We all sin. But, praise the Lord, we have the blood. If we confess, he is faithful to forgive. We just have to spend the time with the Lord. So this is my burden. And Brother Emmanuel would like to share something else. This is my burden. We need to spend, to be prepared, we need to spend some personal time with the Lord. And open up to him. Whatever's in the way, we would confess. We would take the blood and go on and have a good conscience so that we can hold on to faith. We can be poor in spirit, and pure in heart. We can be available to the Lord for whatever he would have to speak with us. Amen. Let's just read the last verse on this one side, Hebrews 10:22. "Let us come forward to the Holy of Holies with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." So we want to have this kind of experience. Tonight we want to come forward, and we'll give you a few minutes at the end. And then either in the cabin time or before you go to bed, you can spend some time with the Lord and in the morning. But let us be prepared. Let us get prepared. And we're only about maybe a third of us here for the conference so far, or maybe half. So when the others come tonight in your cabins, you can have a little fellowship with them, bring them up to date so we all are on the same page for the tomorrow morning. My Brother Manuel will share.
Let's read Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. It's the verses on the next page, if you turn your page over. I think we actually sang these verses already. How about let's alternate brothers and sisters. Brothers first. Go.
And you will say in that day, I will praise you, O Jehovah. You are angry with me, but your anger has turned and you have consoled me.
Sisters too. Okay, how about we all stand up and declare and cry out verse 6 with an exercise spirit. Cry out and give a ringing shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah! So along this line that Brother Dennis has been sharing, to be prepared. We want to be ones that are prepared in every respect, body, soul, and spirit. Right? So the physical part of being prepared was easy coming. That's just throwing some sweaters or shirts, some towels, whatever. And this camp actually was easier to prepare. I didn't have to bring pillows or sleeping bags. That's the easy part. Then there's the soul part. The psychological part, the emotional part, the will part. And I hope that part, we're being prepared as we're coming with a mindset that we're coming to enjoy the Lord. Right? But sometimes we come to meetings or we're coming and our mind's just everywhere. And actually that's just a good distraction from the enemy to distract us. So many things happened to me this morning before we came. And those kind of things are just to distract, but I have to be prepared and calm my being down, set my mind on the Spirit. Okay, then our spirit, we have to prepare our spirit. That means in a large part, taking care of my conscience. And why do we want to do this? Well, we have a marvelous, marvelous weekend here. Again, the title of the conference, right, is Living a Life for the Fulfillment of God's Eternal Purpose by Enjoying Christ as Everything for a New Revival. We want to be prepared to be proper vessels to receive what the Lord has in store for us. And if we're not prepared, then we may miss an opportunity where the Lord speaks to us. And grants a wonderful vision. Don't you want to know what the purpose of your life is? Don't you want to enjoy Christ as everything? Yeah. I surely do. But if I'm not prepared, if my being is not prepared, I may miss this opportunity this weekend. So we had a burden that we would take this first meeting to share this burden. And then tonight, in the cabin time, and then tomorrow morning, we would take these opportunities to spend time before the Lord. Why? Why? For enjoyment. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are here to enjoy. Amen. We are here to drink. Amen. We're not here just so that we can be good people and to have a clean conscience. If we are people that have a clean conscience, we're still not living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. That is not God's eternal purpose, to have people living a good, clean, conscience life. We'll see in the next meeting what is God's eternal purpose. It's not just to have a clean conscience. As we read here, it is so that we can drink. Right? Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So our God wants us as Christians to enjoy Him, to drink of Him. And this type of Christ flowing to us as the living waters, as the fountain of living water, as the wells of salvation. This is what we're here for. We're here to enjoy the Lord. However, many times there's some blockages that prevent us from enjoying the Lord. So, Brother Dennis touched some of it. Sometimes we come to a conference or we go to some church meetings and it was enjoyable, but then I go home and everything's gone. Why? Because this vessel has holes. And though it contained some enjoyment, some life, it all leaked out. Or, even before we get to that point, sometimes we're sitting in the meetings and it's very hard for the Lord to speak to us, for us to rejoice. It says, therefore, with joy, right? Isaiah 12:3, with joy, therefore you shall draw water with rejoicing is how we have it in the recovery version, with rejoicing. So, I don't know about you, but for me, I'll just expose myself. Sometimes I'm in meetings and people are singing, therefore, with joy. Joy, hallelujah, hallelujah, where Jesus is, my joy is there. And there's just, in my being, they're just, I mean, we can stand up and we can mouth the words and we can, but inwardly, there's no joy. Why? Why is that? And then, while they're speaking, after a meeting, some of the brothers and sisters will stand up and they'll say, I enjoyed this word that this brother shared. And I'm like, where'd they get that? I missed that whole thing. I didn't enjoy that. Why? Or you're sitting there and you look across the room and you see this brother smiling. And you're like, why is he smiling? Or someone stands up and speaks, just sit down. Right? I hope none of you think that way. But sometimes inwardly, that's the feeling we have. Well, brothers and sisters, when we have this feeling, when we have these kind of reactions, that should be a clear indication, a clear warning sign that there's some blockage there, that this spring of water wants to come out, but there's some blockages there. And that has everything to do with our conscience. Our conscience is the gateway to our spirit. So if this gateway is blocked, it's very difficult to exercise the spirit. As much as I stand up, as much as I shout, I can shout at the top of my lungs, and I can use both arms. I could jump, right? I can get on the chair. I can do whatever. But the fact of the matter is, I have to deal with this blockage. And like Brother Dennis shared, it's a daily habit. And then there are specific times where there are some spring cleanings that need to take place. With this season, it's a fall cleaning. We may need some fall cleaning. And that does not happen overnight. It takes time. And it takes time for us to go before the Lord. In Jeremiah 2:13, it says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns which hold no water. So our first sin, there's two evils here, right? The first evil is what? Forsaken me, the fountain of living water. So the Lord desires that He would dispense Himself into us as the fountain of living waters. We would take Him in, He would dispense Himself as water to us, living water. But before the Lord, the first evil that we committed, the children of Israel committed, was forsaking Him as this fountain of living water. That means as the source, right? Then the second evil was to hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns which hold no water. So then we labor and we toil on our own kind of enjoyment, but they don't hold any water. They're broken. So these are two evils that the Lord considers. He wants to be everything to us. He wants to be our enjoyment. Our God is a God of enjoyment. And for us to forsake Him in this way is considered an evil. So how do we come back? How do we touch this rejoicing one? How do we touch this joyful one? How do we touch this living one? Well, we have to come before the Lord. Be before His light. So there's these verses here. 1 John. How about we read these verses together? 1 John 1, 7 through 9. Right, so the purpose, the goal for the light to shine is so that we can come back to the fountain of living waters. It's not a gotcha situation. You know, I was driving in West Philly, and, you know, I don't know if you've driven through West Philly, but the last thing you expect in West Philly is a red light camera, right? And I was driving, ran this red, and there was a light. And I was like, no, that was not what I thought it was. And then, anyway, I found out that there is one photo, red light photo camera in West Philly, and that was the light I ran. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, there was light there. There was definitely light there. There was a flash. But the point of the matter is, okay, so from now on, when I drive down that street, I know at that light, whether it's yellow or I need to stop before I get there. But I was considering, that's not the point of the photo-enforced cameras, right? The point is, they hope that you would treat every signal light that way. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is, when the Lord shines on us, when He speaks to us, it's not just for that specific problem that we have. So, I fall, I stumble, I told a lie, and the Lord shines on me, and I confess, and I say, yes, Lord, I should not have lied to my brother. Then the Lord forgives me and cleanses me. But it's not so that next time when Micah asks me something, I don't lie to him. You understand what I'm saying? It's not for these specific... It's so that there could be a clear way for us to enjoy the Lord. See, because I lied to my brother, then there's a blockage and there's no way for the Lord to speak, to flow through me. And there's no way for me to enjoy Him because there's some blockage there. Just as that light, that photo camera light, was not for one specific light, that is there as a principle. That at every light, we should stop. Stop at a red light. Not because there's a camera there, but stop because it's the law. Then there's some clear, there's some clean, free fellowship there with me and the city of Philadelphia. Right? Well, that's the same way with the Lord. As soon as I run a red light, the conscience says no, and I go through it. Then automatically, there's a problem. There's a problem where the Lord wants to flow to me and I want to drink and I say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Yes, but there's some blockage there. And until I take care of that, until I confess that, it's very difficult for the Lord to speak to us in those situations. And you know, so I have a 2-year-old boy and he knows not to touch the printer. And I've told him several times you know, he knows. But when he touches that printer, I'm sitting there. When he touches that printer, he pushes a button, and that button goes, deet, deet, deet. Well, this last time, He touched the print, pushed the button, and I didn't know he was there, but I heard beep, beep, beep. And I looked over there, and as soon as he heard the beep, 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 he's like, why? Because he knew right away. He knew right away. Many times, brothers and sisters, we know right away. And we need to take care of it right away. Don't wait for it to linger. How do we take care of it? Here in 1 John 1:7 through 9. In the light. If we say we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's not just me. I know every one of you have this experience, this deep, deep, deep in your being. Right? That's the difference between Christians that go on. That's the difference between Christians that live a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. They're able to deal with these things right away. They don't let them build up. Because the longer you let it build up, the harder it is to take care of. You know, I say something. If I lie to Brother Micah and the Lord touches me right away, I should speak to him. I should clear it up right away. But I've had this experience, brothers, sisters, you all know. So I don't take care of it right away. Then it's a week. Then it's like, oh, man, now it's harder. Should I text him? Should I call him? You know, oh, now it's pretty stupid. Because it's been a week. Okay, now it's a month. Now it's really hard. Now it gets harder and harder. Now it's been 2 months. You see, then these things begin to build up. Then it's very difficult. Then it takes a lot of effort to come back to confess. All the while you're coming to meetings. And you're trying to touch the Lord and you're trying to rejoice. The Lord is flowing in this meeting as the fountain of living water for us to enjoy. But it's difficult. Why? Because of these things that are building up. So, brothers and sisters, I hope we would take this word and begin tonight. If we don't have this healthy habit, begin tonight. Read some of these verses together in your cabin time. Then spend some time alone. Spend some time alone with the Lord. Take some of these verses. Begin to pray these verses to the Lord. And let them shine. Maybe some of you have never spent time alone with the Lord. Maybe you should take this time. It's beautiful here. Beautiful areas. Just go find a place. Sit down. Just spend time with the Lord. Begin to pray. Begin to open. Ask. Ask the Lord for water. John 4:10. It says, if you knew the gift of God who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Ask him. Ask him. Tonight, ask him. Ask him for the living water. Then we enjoyed this past week. Exodus 17, about the rock. We just speak to the rock. Right in Exodus, the picture, there Christ was the rock that Moses struck, and the water came out to water all the children of Israel. Then the second time, what did he do? He told Moses to, did he say to strike the rock again? No, he said what? Speak to the rock. So here in John 4:10 it says, ask of him. Ask him and he would give you the living water. We just speak to the rock. Okay, then Paul tells us very clearly, 1 Corinthians 10:4, the rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. He didn't say the rock was like Christ or the rock was a type of Christ. The rock was Christ. This rock that was flowing water, that watered all the children of Israel, this rock was Christ. And guess what? This rock today is following you in your spirit. So we have to speak to this. I always remember this brother, he was speaking this story to an unbeliever, right? A new brother, or he was a new brother. Never heard any stories concerning the Bible, concerning the children of Israel. And he was telling him concerning Christ as the rock that follows us. Isn't this good? Christ is the rock that follows. We just speak to this rock, and this rock flows. And his new brother was like, you mean the rock followed them? Yes, the rock followed them. And He was like, whoa. That's how our, if we realize this rock is in our spirit, we, whoa. Whoa. Anytime we can speak, anytime we speak, this water will flow. But we have to ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Then John 4:14 says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. But the water I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Praise the Lord. So our God would never deny us water. You know, the children of Israel, they were there mumbling and grumbling, and Moses got angry. And Moses struck the rock twice. But the Lord wasn't angry at the children of Israel. He was angry at Moses for striking the rock twice. Why? And it was so wonderful how the ministry opens this to us. The Lord would never get upset at the children of Israel, at his children, for being thirsty or being hungry. If we're thirsty, of course we're going to grumble. That means we haven't drunk the living water. That's why I gave those examples of when we're in meetings, right? We're grumbling. Well, the Lord's not angry at you. That's just a sign. You need to drink. We need to touch the living water. And then I enjoy this verse, Revelation 22:14. But those who wash, blessed are those who wash their robe, for they have right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. So we want to be those that wash our robes, daily wash our robes. We should have this healthy habit of repenting, confessing, and asking the Lord to cleanse us. Brothers and sisters, this is such, we were praying before the meeting, this is a healthy habit that all of us should have as Christians, as young people. If we can pick up this habit, the Lord will be so merciful. I'm just considering a brother's testimony. I don't want to embarrass him right now, but you'll figure out who he is when his face turns red, right? But he shared with us, he heard this word when he was a junior higher. And every night he would repent before the Lord. This is a healthy habit. If we repent every night before the Lord will keep us. Why? Because we will be ones that have a clear conscience and a strong spirit that allows him to speak to us and allows us to be good drinkers, right? I saw some good drinkers tonight. What we were seeing, there were some good drinkers, right? I believe they took care of, they were prepared coming up. Okay, then finally, there's a spiritual principle concerning drinking, right? And that is, inflow is dependent on outflow. So the amount of inflow is in proportion to the amount of outflow. So the quantity of water which flows out of us determines how much water can flow in us. So this is like a hose, right? You turn on the faucet and you tie off the other end, not much more water can come in because there's no outflow. So we want to be good receivers, but also good channels where he can flow out of. What does that mean? That means we have to speak. We want to be good speakers, not in terms of utterances. You can see I'm not a good speaker, right? But any of us can speak the Lord. And because we speak, the proportion of drinking that allows us to have increases by the amount of speaking we have. So what we want to do is tonight, we want to encourage all of us, all the students, all the serving ones, this conference. We want to be ones to be good drinkers, for the Lord to speak to us, to open the heavens to us, to see this grand vision concerning a life, a living life, for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival. If we want to see this, well, we have to speak. Because this is a lot to come in. That's turning the valve all the way open. And that means on the other end, it has to be all the way open. So all of us, we have to speak. That means, you know, so we always say, meetings in two parts, right? There's the speaking part by the brothers, then all of us speak. And then usually we just kind of sit back and say, okay, who's going to speak? We look around. But actually what we mean is, it's your turn to speak. And we hope you really take this to heart. The more you speak, the more the Lord can speak to you. This is a spiritual principle. Inflow depends on outflow. So tonight we hope, let's take this opportunity in our small groups to read through these verses. We don't have to read through all of them, but read through some key verses. And then spend time alone before the Lord, that the Lord can shine on us. Then tomorrow morning, take some of these verses. Now some of your cabins may have students that are not here tonight. Well, I believe if they read some of these verses and then hear some of your fellowship, they'll have the same burden. They'll sense the same burden for this entire conference. So read through these verses with them in the morning, and then again, spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord again to prepare for the morning meeting. Actually, like what Brother Dennis shared, we should do this before every meeting we come to. Of course, if we are in a healthy habit, then there's not much buildup before we come in the meeting. But if we haven't done this for a while, then sometimes it takes a lengthier time. And then sometimes as we spend more time with the Lord is able to go deeper and deeper, not just the gross, obvious sins, but then he gets finer and finer to the point where the Lord can just flow through us in an unhindered way. There's nothing that would frustrate his flow. No insulation. That's the point where we're just wide receivers, drinking, enjoying to the uttermost, enjoying Christ as everything. So we just hope you would take this kind of word, receive this burden, and practice it. Not just here at this conference, but surely tonight to practice it, and then build up this healthy habit. Every night before you go to bed, consider before the Lord. Open to the Lord. And then as soon as things happen, take care of them right away. Don't go against... Actually, we would fellowship. I'm just thinking, we were fellowship before the meeting. Even the age, the philosophy of this age is totally contrary to our conscience, to branding. There's a verse here about our conscience being branded. 1 Timothy 4:2. Right? Men who are branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. I was just considering even this phrase, if it feels good, do it. Don't you hear this a lot? If it feels good, do it. Actually, your conscience says no. Your conscience screaming at you, no. Yet, we're able to continue to go on. Why? Because of the speaking of this age, right? Anyway, brothers and sisters, we just need to be careful. Take care of our conscience right away. Take care of our conscience. Why? So that we can enjoy the Lord. We don't want to miss this enjoyment. He's the fountain of living water who wants to be everything to us, that we can enjoy him as everything. So don't miss this opportunity. Don't get robbed of this opportunity. Take care of these matters right away. Praise the Lord. Okay, how about, let's just spend, how about the next 5 minutes? Let's just spend the next 5 minutes here in our seats. And let's just open. If you need to use the verses to pray to the Lord and let the Lord shine.